We're grateful to be able to stand before you here today and take us a little bit deeper into the Word of God here this morning. Whenever we come up on a birthday, we always take intentional time to celebrate and to communicate our new theme and vision for this next season. And as Pastor Marvin just prayed, as we come out of year 8 and we enter into this year number 9, I just began praying over the past few months of what the Lord wanted to show us, take us deeper into. And he deposited into my heart a word, a specific word that I believe is going to propel us into this next chapter. By now, I think you've probably walked by it. Maybe you've seen it on a sign. Maybe you've seen it on a shirt. Maybe it's around me on screens right this moment. It's the word, it starts with the letter P. Come on, somebody say it with me. It's pursue. I like how somebody over here said pursue. Pursue. It's the word pursue. And I just began to have my heart stirred up around this word pursue because I really believe that God is in pursuit of us. And I don't think that changes going into this next year. I think that we should be very much aware of him and his pursuit of us. And that should maybe even make us ask the question, what are we pursuing? And I felt like the Holy Spirit wanted to take us deeper into that idea. What are we pursuing going into year number 9? And there's a few things that I'm excited to share with here today when it comes to our pursuit for this next season. As I was working on this message, I wrote down this reality statement. It's a statement that we're going to use throughout this year and throughout this series. It's up here on the screen. It says, what you pursue determines who you become. The things that you pursue, the word pursue means to seek, to go after, to even have an aggressive approach to finding something. You're pursuing something. You're focused in on it. You're not just haphazardly looking around, kind of nonchalant. No, you're in pursuit. There's a focus that goes with that. And what you pursue will ultimately determine who you become. So if you're pursuing more of the Lord, you're going to get to know more of the Lord. If you're pursuing community, watch yourself be in community. If you're pursuing purpose, your purpose is going to start to unfold, right? If you're pursuing what God has called you to do, I think you're going to find yourself in what God has called you to do. And so what you pursue will determine this next year for your life. And so what I want to talk about just for a few minutes is the individual pursuit that God's called all of us to, and then the collective pursuit that we as a church family are going to pursue this year. In fact, one of the things we did in preparation for this service is we made these little pursue cards. Hopefully there's one by you somewhere. It's maybe underneath you or it's in the seat next to you. But can you just grab it and just hold it up real quick? Can I just see, did everybody get a pursue card? If you didn't get one, make sure you get one before you leave because it's part of the classroom participation today. Come on, here at the middle school, okay? And this is a prayer that I want you to pray. I want you to get with the Lord. And I want you to ask him, God, what do you want me to pursue this year? And I want you to write it down in this blank. And that you would make this your prayer and your accountability card. This year I'm pursuing God and his word. Maybe it's this year I'm pursuing a greater prayer life. Maybe this year I'm pursuing health. I want to get healthy. Maybe this year I'm pursuing my marriage at a next level, or this year I'm pursuing purity in the next level, or this year I'm really pursuing friendships and being a better. What are you pursuing? What you pursue determines who you become. So I want to encourage you to think through that. Maybe you'll be tempted to write like 18 words. Just pick one, all right? If you pick too many, you won't do any. That was a rhyme. Pick one, bars. Pick pursuing my rap career. No, I'm just playing. What you pursue. I want you to get to September of 2025 and I want you to feel better, stronger, closer, like what you pursued, you did. Maybe you put this in your car. Maybe you put it on your mirror in your bathroom. Maybe you put it around where you wake up and you just say, you know, this year I'm pursuing something. This year I'm pursuing someone. I believe God is going to meet you on the other side of that pursuit. When I think about that in the life of our church, I feel like what we're pursuing as a family matters. And maybe today, like I said earlier, this is the first time ever you are here at Walk Church. Can I just tell you, you are honored here. You are welcomed here. We're grateful that by faith, you took a step to come today. It could be for the free tacos, and I am mad at you. You might be thinking, hurry up. Like, we didn't come for you, Pastor. We came for the El Pastor. That was good. Sometimes these things come to me and I think in the moment, should I say it or not? Should I say it or not? I'm just going for it. On the birthday, I'm just going for it. El Pastor. The carne. Come on, hurry up. But before we pursue that, I want us to pursue him in this word. And then let's pursue the Lord while we're indulging in some good food. The first thing when it comes to what are we pursuing as a church that I want us to be clear on, and clarity is kindness. Clarity is powerful. I think I want us to be clear. We got three things. For year number 9, there's three things that we're pursuing. If we're clear on these three, if we got agreement around this vision of these three, I think God's going to bless it, and it'll be who we become. So if you're ready, say ready. If you're hungry, say let's eat. Let's eat. Father, right now, as we get ready to eat from your word, as we unpack these three, Lord, I pray that you would speak to us through your spirit, through your word. Use me to communicate it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Point number one, we are pursuing the same God that is pursuing us. Amen. Now, you might think, I knew that. But I want to be careful to double-click on this point and make sure we emphasize the importance of it. There's a temptation to get to a place like year 9 and to experience some growth and to maybe experience some new lighting. Shout out to our team who put some new lighting in here and the school who's allowed us to do some. You could get to a place where you can just say, you know what, I think I'm just going to go on autopilot. I just think I'm just going to cruise. We've done some good things. Let's just rely on what we've done instead of our pursuit of the one who did it all the way. Walk Church, listen to me. Our pursuit of God is only going to get stronger. Our pursuit of him and his presence and his holiness and his goodness and his word and the pursuit of God in prayer. We're pursuing the same God. Listen to me. This is good news. That's pursuing us. Here's the wild thing about God. He's actually interested in us. He loves you a lot. He is pursuing you now. He's been pursuing you. In fact, look what the Lord says in Luke chapter 19. Let's just be reminded of Jesus and his missional call to save. He says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus came to say, today you might be here and you might be lost. What does it mean to be lost? I don't know where I'm going. I'm existing, but I don't have any direction. I feel lost. I'm doing things, but I don't really know what they're doing. I feel lost. Listen, Jesus came to pursue you. He came to seek you. He came to save you. He came to give you a life of purpose on this earth and in heaven, right? He is pursuing you. But can I just tell you this? I'm also grateful that once we do find Christ, or maybe I should say when he finds us and we respond to his grace in our lives and we say yes and believe in Jesus as Lord, I'm glad that he doesn't say, all right, I'll see you in heaven. Figure it out. Do your best. No, I'm grateful that the Holy Spirit is committed to us. Listen, when you woke up, the Holy Spirit was pursuing you. Today, I felt this morning the Lord pursuing me. Proverbs chapter 15, pursuing me. In fact, I wrote a verse down out of Proverbs 15. Maybe I'll display it if we have it in Proverbs 15, verse 9. This hit me this morning. The way of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but he loves him who pursues righteousness. God says, I love that. I'm pursuing you. I want a relationship with you. I'm seeking you. What are we doing this year in year 9? What's the big thing that we're pursuing in year 9? We're pursuing God. Listen, we don't want to be a sparkly, shiny car that has no gas. The Lord is the gas. The Lord is the engine. The gospel is the power, right? His presence is our pursuit. This year, my prayer is that you would say, hey, I'm going to make this the greatest year I've ever pursued the Lord. I'm going to pursue him in the morning. I'm going to pursue him in the afternoon. I'm going to pursue him in the mundane. I'm going to pursue him in the struggle. I'm going to pursue him in the great mountaintop moments. I'm going to pursue God. And here's what I know. He's already pursuing me. Don't miss the reality that God is in pursuit of you. And at some point during this next year, you're going to miss the mark. You're going to mess up your Bible reading plan. You're going to fall into some type of temptation or sin. It's going to happen to all of us. And I just want to remind you in that moment, it won't change the reality that God is still going to pursue you. The gospel teaches us that he is committed to us more than we're committed to him. I love this verse in 2 Timothy chapter 1. It's just a good reminder that teaches us if we are faithless, he remains faithful. For he cannot deny himself. In fact, his faithfulness to you is not dependent on your works for him. His faithfulness to you is because he's faithful. Period. Amen. The best thing that we could do in year 9 is say, okay, God, you really are that good. I'm going to pursue you. And when I pursue God, I find God. And when I find God, I grow in my relationship with the one who loves me, who calls me and who saves me, who wants me, who really does want me. And so today, the first point of the message is simply that we're pursuing the same God that's pursuing us. Point number two, we're pursuing the same mission that he gave us. We have a clear mission here at Walk Church that the Lord has given to us. He gave it to us 9 years ago. In fact, it was closer to 10 years ago. We spent a year really developing our team and praying through some different location struggles. And finally, we found Schofield Middle School opened their doors to us in such a kind and generous way almost a decade ago. And God gave us a mission back then. In fact, let me just put a quick picture up on the screen. This is a picture of the first couple of weeks here at Walk Church. We met in the middle school theater. I still don't know what type of outfit this was, but it was a 2015er, all right? That was when you did the untuck with the tie. If that's your outfit today, I salute. They're like, wait. Look, there's 106 middle school hard chairs. So I love the people that sustain those little mini chairs. We had one sign, boom. This pulpit was like 100 pounds. It was like banging people's legs, and I don't want to go back to this day. But I'm grateful that we had a mission back then. It's the same mission now. You know, Pastor Wes, he's our environments pastor. He was with us in the very beginning days as well. Grateful. Come on, we honor Pastor Wes. So good. Incredible. He may have even taken this picture. He sent me this picture yesterday as they were leaving here, and we actually bought an extra 40 chairs. It's cool. I see people in the back sitting in them. Praise God. Love y'all. We bought them so that in pursuit of what God would do today, and to think about, you know, we were hoping to fill 106 chairs with one service 9 years ago, and to think, God, we put out every chair we could find for today in 3 services. The Lord has been faithful, amen, to grow his church, to build his church, to be committed to this church. And can I tell you, I think one of the reasons why we've been able to see his kindness and his growth is because we're committed to the mission he's given us. We're not trying to have a missional drift into something pragmatic or something that just sounds cool or is trendy. We are locked in on the mission he's given us. Can I just tell you that the mission he's given us is the same mission he's given to every single Bible-believing church? It's found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. Here's Jesus on his closing, departing words to his disciples in Matthew 28. He says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth,'" the resurrected Savior says, "'all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus gives the mission and he gives the promise in this text, right? He gives the reality that he's in control. He has all authority, heaven and on earth. So regardless of who wins the election, Jesus still has all authority. Regardless of what happens today or tomorrow, we have a God who's in control. We stand on the word. And now he says with all authority, I'm commissioning you to now go and to do something. To make disciples of all the nations. Start with where you're from. Start in your Jerusalem and then move into Judea and then move into your Samaria and cross cultures with the gospel and take it overseas and make disciples. A disciple is a student, a follower who's committed to the one who is teaching or instructing. In fact, Jesus takes it even deeper and he makes this discipleship relationship family related. He calls these disciples to follow him. It's father, son, it's student, teacher. It's so in depth. Jesus says, I want you to make disciples who make disciples, that they would identify with me. Baptism is identifying with the Savior. Baptism is saying, it's no longer I who live, it's now Christ who I'm following. It's Christ who lives in me. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, I walk with the Trinity. Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And maybe in a quick moment, if you get nervous and think, I got to do this all by myself, Jesus says, no, you don't. I will be with you always. I think too often we're not acknowledging the pursuit of God in our lives. He's pursuing us to the end of the age. Now, I think one of the challenges in the American church, but I would just probably say across the globe, is if I were to interview 15 different pastors and say, okay, if we all agree that our calling and our mission is to make disciples, what's a disciple? What I've realized is, over the course of the past 9 years, I hear 15 different answers. Different people have different definitions of what a disciple is and how do you make them. There's all types of different thoughts. Some people go information-based. Some people go duty-based. Some people go church attendance-based. There's rarely a concise definition on what a disciple is. And so I felt like we needed to do our best job biblically and theologically to define what do we call a disciple here at Walk Church. So how can we know if we're doing what we're called? And here's our mission. We defined disciple-making as this: freeing people to walk in Jesus. That's our mission here at Walk Church. It's freeing people to walk in Jesus. If you were to say, hey, what's a disciple? I would say a disciple is somebody who's experienced freedom in Christ by believing in Jesus. When you're forgiven of your sins, that's freedom. When you get called by God to do something that's beyond yourself, that's freedom. When you have a new purpose and a new direction and you know that your eternity is secured, that's freedom. We're freeing people, but not just freedom, freedom with a purpose. It would be ridiculous for Jesus to open your prison cell of your life and for you to say, all right, the door's open. I'm just going to sit here. I got no purpose. I'm free, but I don't have purpose. I'm stuck. No, we're freed, come on, with a purpose, amen? What's the purpose? To walk in Jesus. Free to walk it out. In fact, some people ask quite often, where does the name Walk Church come from? Well, it comes from the reality that Jesus wants to walk his life out through his church. Do we say things like this? We're his hands and his... What does that really mean? We should be walking in him, amen? We should be walking out our faith in Christ, him living in and through us. We're freeing people to walk in Jesus. We believe that's what a disciple is. Somebody who's experienced freedom in Jesus and is now walking in Jesus. Now, maybe you would go a little further and say, okay, freeing people to walk in Jesus, that's the definition of what a disciple is at Walk Church. How do you know if somebody's been set free to walk in Jesus? Good question. We got an answer. Four things we believe are how we measure if somebody's doing this. Ready? Let's throw it on the screen. Number one, they know God. Here's how you can know if you're a disciple today. Do you have a relationship with God? Are you continuing to get to know him? It doesn't say do stuff for God. It says know God. So the first step of being a disciple is knowing him and having him know you. It's relationship over religion. Amen? We never graduate from the relationship with knowing him. In fact, in heaven, we'll know him in his fullness. It's find community. When I look at the life of Jesus, I see Jesus intentionally, prayerfully, and consistently finding community. This is not meant to be a shade, but Nina, you probably amen me on this. Over the past 9 years, there has been several times where people have said, oh man, I love Walk Church, but nobody found me and nobody said hi to me or nobody did this for me. And I so often want to say, you got to go find it. You got to be the change that you want to see. Although I do want people to say hi, and though I do want people to do the inviting, I do want people to, make the ask and get a phone number. Oh, we are excited about that. But listen, church, you got to go find it. Disciples find community. They don't just wait for it to magically happen. And maybe this community wasn't for you. Go find another community. Jesus went to the boat and said, I'm jumping in. You come follow me. And actually, you can invite your brother too. Right? And then I'm going to go to the tax collector booth. Hey, you come follow me. You come follow me. Right? Jesus was like, I'm not going to wait for this to happen. I'm going to go find it. We all have the responsibility to know God. We have the responsibility to find community. That's what a disciple looks like. To discover purpose. We believe that God has made you on purpose for a purpose. And until you uncover and discover that purpose, life won't make full sense. We're committed to helping you discover that purpose. It could be in your job. It could be in your domain. It could be here at church. It could be with your family, with your kids, and your singleness, and your parenting. It could be as a missionary overseas. It could be as a church planter locally. I don't know what that purpose looks like. I just know disciples discover purpose. And I know God is too intentional to make you not with a purpose. That would be strange. He's got a purpose for your life. Finally, when you discover that purpose, you go make a difference. You make a difference with the gifts he's given you, the skills he's given you, the heart he's given you, the mind he's given you. Church family, we're a bunch of difference makers in the room. Come on, amen? We want to change this city. I remember reading a statistic that convicted me several years ago that helped us with this language. It was an interview taken of several different people who were on the last chapter of their lives. Each were interviewed with this one question. If you could go back in time, what would you have done differently? What was remarkable was that majority of the people had the exact same answer. Majority of the individuals that were polled said this, I wish I would have made a difference. What does that speak to us? We have this God wiring in us to make a difference. We want it. It's in us. And I believe that God wants that for your life as well. If you're in your older age, Moses got his calling in his 80s, right? Some got their calling younger. And all types of callings are unique and nuanced, and can I tell you, God is in pursuit of all of it. The same God that's pursuing you, we're pursuing him. And friend, this is what we want to see happen. This is our vision, to see people know God. You'll find freedom when you know God. To see people find community. That's where you're going to find freedom in community. To see people discover their, this is what I bring. There's freedom in that. To start making a difference. Yo, thank you for making a difference in my life. There's freedom in that. Why do I share all that? That's our mission and vision. Church, listen to me. We're pursuing that. If you were to say, hey, Pastor Hyden, what are we pursuing for year 9? We're pursuing the same God that's pursuing us. We're not stepping back in our pursuit of the one who saved us. And we're pursuing the mission in the vision that he gave to us 9 years ago. Finally, I want to give you point number 3, and we'll close with this. The third thing that we're pursuing is a new location for greater impact. Amen? Come on. I'm excited about this third point. I really believe we're here. I believe we're in this season. It's been a 9-year journey that God has been faithful to pursue us all the way through. And this next season looks like us taking a leap toward a new location. I'm so grateful for this school. Come on, amen. We love this house, this place. I went to this school as a middle schooler. It's a full circle moment, amen? Right? But this school, as awesome as it is, Nina found our Community Partnership Award. We've won the Community Partner Award with Schofield for the past 8 years. I hope we'll get nine. We're committed to it. We got our cookout coming up, right? But can I just tell you this? And I believe that we're going to stay committed to it even when we're no longer here, because it's kingdom. But can I just tell you, in order for us to have the greater impact that I believe God has for our church, this school can't contain it. As much as we love it, we can't move these drapes back any further. We've tried. We promise you, we've tried to Tetris this room to get more out of it. What we don't think is the best bet is to just add a fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh service in here. We need more space. And so we're grateful for how God's moved. But we're believing in this next year, in year number 9, as we pursue a new location from the God who's pursuing us, that this will be the year that we break ground on this new facility. We're pursuing this dream. We're pursuing it by faith, amen? Just a couple pictures on the screen. These are some of the renderings our architect has given us. They show right here on Spencer Street as you make your way up toward Warm Springs. Right now, this is just a big piece of dirt. But God has so much more for it, amen? What's good, church family, is that the land is paid for. It's in the name of Walk Church. It's zoned. We've had to go through all the zoning for a house of worship, preschool, daycare. Come on. Yeah, woo. Yeah, woo. In fact, can you go back to that last picture really quick? Right here. In fact, God did a miracle in the life of our church, and the county has allowed us to now acquire this triangle. So Matt, we haven't gotten the new renderings back, but some miraculous generosity moments have happened in place with the right people at the right time that we've also acquired this now, which we needed that to complete the look. There's going to be a full-size basketball gym in here. There's going to be a beautiful preschool. There's going to be an awesome youth space. There's going to be more discipleship engagement areas. There's going to be it's a two-story facility that we believe God is going to bring us into for greater impact. Listen, you know what I'm not interested in is building a building for building's sake. I'm interested in greater impact. I really do think that the next 9 years have to be better than the last. I really do think that God has called us to produce fruit. And I believe that the God we're pursuing is already pursuing us. And so as we step toward this dream, I'm excited to say we're going to do it this year. In year number 9, we're going to break ground. We're going to start. I can't guarantee that we'll step into the building in year 9. I don't want to overpromise and underdeliver, but I have been told by our architects, by our general contractors and project managers and Pastor Mike, make sure, double check on all this, that in the next couple of months, we're going to be able to release some of the, like a virtual tour of inside. We haven't been able to go inside, but we're finalizing the inside. We want you to see it. This is what we're pursuing. Stay in the game with us. Stay on the journey with us. Watch God do a miracle. We're going to go inside the classrooms and inside the gym. I don't know if we can like puff in like a smell, but we can't smell it, but we can see it, all right? We're going to go inside the windows and see how God is moving inside the building by faith. We're stepping toward that, right? So that's going to happen the next couple months. And then the goal is in the first quarter of 2025 is when we'll break ground on the building project, amen? So I want to just share that with you. We're in pursuit of a new location. And we're so grateful for all that God has done and will continue to do right here in our midst as we pursue him along the way. Amen. As we close, I just want to close this in a word of prayer. And I don't know what you're pursuing, but I know that God's pursuing you. And by faith, I want to encourage you to step into this next season with us together. With confidence, with focus, with encouragement, because he's with you. And today, if you don't know Jesus, the good news is he knows you, and he wants to have a relationship with you. And right now, right this moment, you can call upon his name by faith. You might say, hey, I don't got it all figured out, though. I didn't when I got saved. I think he just wants your yes. He's pursuing your yes. And if you can just write God a blank check today and just put yes on it, he can do a lot with your life. It starts with calling on his name in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we have witnessed your faithfulness. And even in this sermon and in this moment, in this time of worship, God, we thank you for meeting us here today. Lord, I do pray that you would continue the great work that you started in Walk Church. And Lord, I do pray that if there's anybody in this room or online right now that needs to be saved, that right now you would repent of your sins, you turn away from them, and by faith you would call on Jesus' name. I invite you to pray this with me. Just say, Lord, thank you for pursuing me. I believe in you. I love you. I need you. And I call on your name. I believe you died for all my sins. Today I'm forgiven. I believe you rose from the grave. Today I'm new. Holy Spirit, fill me. I'm ready to follow you. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God.